You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
One thing I think it's very important that young people, whether you are a Christian or not, you need to understand the importance and the value of the Lord's house. Whether you are a saint or a sinner, it's important to understand and to value the Lord's house. I can remember when I was a child, one thing my parents and my grandparents taught me is to value God's house. When you are a spirit-led saint, you should not only value God's house, but you should have knowledge and understanding about the Lord's house. We should have knowledge and what? Understanding about the Lord's house. And of course, there are some things we need to know and understand that are simple, and there are some things that we need to know and understand that are major. But the point I want to make is that all of us in here need to be on the same page when it comes to the Lord's house. So as I establish a little foundation on this morning, let me give us some truths or some knowledge and understanding about the Lord's house. Let's start in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 25. Again, we're looking at truths about knowledge and what? Understanding about the Lord's house. Exodus 25 and verse number 8. It reads, "And let them make me a sanctuary or a house, a holy place, that I may dwell among them." The Lord's house, number one, is where God dwells. The sanctuary, the sacred place. God's house, young people, is where our God dwells. And he told them, make me a place, make me a place, make me a sanctuary where I can come and I can live among my people. Make me a place where I can come and speak to my young people in a corporate setting. Make me a place where I can come and move amongst the lives of my young people in a corporate setting. God's house is very important. Now, I wish I could tell you that every sanctuary that was built and has been built belongs to the Lord, but that's just not the case. There are some churches that are not God's churches. His presence does not dwell there. You want to make sure that you are amongst the congregation where the Lord dwells. You don't want to be in a dead church. You don't want to be, young people, in a church where God is not dwelling, where he's not moving, where he's not talking, where he's not healing and directing. We want to be in the place, and we are, where God dwells. And you have to understand that you cannot separate God's sanctuary, God's house, from God. You cannot separate God from his church or from his house. The Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of the church, which is the body. If you cut off my head, I will no longer exist. The head and the body, they go what? They go together. And so you need to understand this, because you will hear from people that the church or God's house is not important. Case in point, I got something sent to me from one of the young adults from a very popular singer, gospel singer, and pastor, Ty Tribbett, however you say his name. But he was on Breakfast Club on last week in an interview, and he said the institution of the church is whack. And he said, I learned that God is not the church. That's wrong. That's error. God and his church are one. God dwells in his house. Tell somebody, the Lord's house is where our God dwells. And I quoted Ephesians 5 and 23 earlier, where it says, Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Number two, Psalm 20. Again, we're looking at truths about the Lord's house. And the first truth is, the Lord's house is where our God what? It's where he dwells. Psalm 20 and 2. Psalmist says, may he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Number two, young people, God's house is our source for deliverance. I come to the sanctuary to get me some help and to get me some strength. Help and strength, young people, in the verse has to do with God's divine deliverance. God is not only dwelling in his house, but he delivers in his house. God, when he shows up, he does something. He helps his people. He strengthens his people. Deliverance, young people, has to do with God bringing us out. It has to do with God making us aware of what we need to know so we can come out of trouble. One writer said, it's through knowledge that the righteous are delivered. See, when you go through things, young people, in life, you need to know how to come out. And the one who wants you to come out is God. And so that's why we come to his church and we get a word so we can deal with trouble the right way. That's why when you go through things in life, young people, you mess up in life, don't stay at home. No, you need to make it your business to come to God's house, because God is going to give you something to deliver you. God is going to give you something to make your life better. You just got to come in like Jesus said. You got to come in hungry and thirsting for some righteousness. You got to have the mindset that, look, I'm going to God's house to get me something so I can be better. I'm not going in there and coming out the same way that I went. God is going to help me. God is going to do something for me during the prayer. He's going to do something for me during the praise service. And he's sure enough going to do something for me when the word is coming forth. And I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, I know I need some deliverance. I need God to prosper me in some areas. I need God to help me in some areas. And I need God to strengthen me in some areas. And y'all can sit there mouse quiet all you want, but you can't fool me. Who in here know you need some deliverance? God's folk need help and strength. Sometimes, young folk, you feel like throwing in the towel. Sometimes, young folk, you feel like giving up. But it's nothing like coming to God's house and the Holy Ghost fall and give you some power. And you say, you know what? I can make it. You know what? I am more than a conqueror. You know what? I don't have to cast away my confidence. It has great reward. Tell somebody there's deliverance in God's house. Don't need to come in here playing on your phone if you want some deliverance. Don't need to come in here lollygagging if you want some deliverance. You got to come in here and get exactly what you need. Are y'all with me? Understand this, young people. The primary way God helps us when we come to his house is through his word. He's going to send a word. And he's going to heal or help us. When you come into God's house, your spirit, your God consciousness has got to be in the right place. Because the Spirit of God is going to speak what he hears the Father say. And those who have an ear to hear, you need to hear what the Spirit is saying. God will use the minister in his prayer to speak to you. God will use the praise team when they're leading us in worship to speak to you. But then when his prophet gets up, God will give the prophet a word to speak to you. You just got to make sure that you are conscious of whatever it is that God is saying. How many are with me? Let me give you a quick testimony. Tuesday night, we were here and we were in the word. At TNT, we were here this Tuesday night for about 45 minutes, and the Lord was teaching us about serving. And he was teaching us in such a way it was causing us to be better. But then in the midst of the message, young people, according to Colossians 3:23, he told all of us who were here, he said, look, if you serve God according to his word, there's going to be some rewards. And then the Holy Spirit began to use the man of God and say, look, if you're serving God, you need to expect some unexpected rewards. You need to expect God to do something that your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard. Man, I knew when God was using me to speak it, I knew it was the Holy Spirit because that wasn't a part of my lesson or my study. I said, Lord, I'm receiving this unexpected blessings if I just keep following your spirit and I keep serving you. Got home and got a testimony. Somebody got an unexpected blessing. They said somebody showed up and took them out to eat and paid for everything. I said, Lord, you're doing unexpected things. Then I went out to cut some grass, and a man pulled up in a white truck, and he said, you got a card, sir? I said, yes, sir, I do. He took me down the street and said, this is my daughter's house, and I want you to cut her yard. I said, well, here's my price. He said, we're in agreement. I said, Lord, that's an unexpected blessing. Went to my P.O. box, opened up the P.O. box. Somebody shout, P.O. box. And got a four-digit check in the mail. Went to the house. I told my wife, I said, wham, look at this. Unexpected blessing. Got a call Friday night. And somebody told me, say, look, I want to bless you and your wife. Somebody shout, unexpected blessing. Five things the Lord did for me this week since that word came. Deliverance took place. He sent the word. I grabbed a hold to it, and it happened. And I'm here to let you know, if you are following the Spirit of God and you are in the will of God, you got a right to expect God to do something unexpected. Look at somebody, if you're excited, and say, something unexpected is going to happen for you. No matter what you're going through, who can stop God? Who can stop God from doing for you what he promised? And so I got to come into the house understanding God is going to send something to deliver. Somebody shout, he dwells here and he delivers. The final thing I want us to understand about the Lord's house, young people, is in Psalm 122 and 1. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said to us, or said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. See, some scripture's so good, you got to help the preacher read it. I just knew y'all were going to help me finish that. David said, I was glad when they said to me, help me finish it, church. Let us go into where?
The house of the Lord.
The Lord's house should be our delight. I said the Lord's house should be our delight. Notice the text. David said the Lord told him to go to the Lord's house. He had to tell somebody else. So then he turned around and said, well, let us go to the house of the Lord. A group of folk that was happy to go into the Lord's house. When God's house is your delight, you're excited to go and you're excited to be there. I said you're excited to go and you're excited to be there. I wish I could tell you every day you awake that you want to go to God's house, but it's going to be some days you just don't feel like going. But when you mature, you get happy about going to God's house. You stir yourself up and say, I got to get up out this bed, and I'm going to God's house to give my God some praise. I'm going to my God's house not to play ball in the gym, not to see if they got no refreshments, but I'm going into God's house as a young person to lift up the name of Jesus. And I'm wondering, do we still have anybody here that's excited about what's going on in God's house? Do we have any young men that ain't too cool, but you got some delight when it comes to the Lord's house? Ain't no PlayStation here, ain't no Xbox here, but you still excited about going and participating. Where my young brothers at? I got anybody in here like David that's saying, I'm going into God's house and I'm going to do my dance. I'm going to bring him an offering and I'm going to take heed to God's word. But where the cute section? At? Where the little cute girls at in here? I hope you ain't too cute to come in God's house with some excitement. I hope your nails ain't dripping too right. I hope your hair ain't pressed. I hope your hair ain't sewed in too tight. You gotta come in God's house with some delight. Even when you sick in your body. Even when you got a headache from the pollen, even when your money ain't where you want it to be, you should still be excited, young folk, about coming into God's house. When you excited about coming in God's house, you'll put that phone down for 45 minutes. Yes, you will. You won't be distracted by that phone because you know God is moving, he is blessing, and he is helping. Tell somebody, I love coming to God's house. I like going to the movies, but ain't nothing like God's house. I Netflix and chill, but ain't nothing like going to God's house. I hang out with my boo, but ain't nothing like going to God's house. It's something about God's house. It just touches me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. It's something about God's house that lets me know that everything is going to be all right. It's something about God's house that helped me get my act together when I'm tripping. And I love going to God's house. If I'm talking about you, look at somebody and say, I take delight in God's house. And I don't like sitting on no dead row neither. My row got to be popping. Look at somebody and say, it's got to be popping on my row. You got to be putting them hands together. You got to have a Bible. Matter of fact, just do a row check. If you over there looking drowsy, you on the wrong row, because this the turn up row. If your feet are stretched out and you looking half asleep, it's something wrong, because this is the row where we keep it popping. Look at somebody and say, I keeps it popping on my row. I take delight in God's house. Woo! Look at somebody and just do a victory turn. Say, I love coming to God's house. I turn right in your face. I leap right before your face. I shout back and say, hallelujah! Right in your face. Now do something. Either you gonna get with me or you gonna get left. Look at somebody and say, what you gonna do? So God's house, young people, is where our God what? Is where he what? God's house is our source for deliverance. And when we come to God's house, we should have some what? Now, understand, there's some do's and don'ts when it come to God's house. We understand now what the God's house is. I've given you scripture, but don't get it twisted. There's some, help me, do's. No, y'all rushing. I'm trying to take my time. There's some do's and some. There you go. Now we in rhythm. Let's try that again. There's some and there's some. There you go. Don't disrespect the Lord's house. I said, don't disrespect the Lord's house. From the children to the teens to the young adults and adults, our mindset is, look, I don't need to disrespect God's house. One of the meanings of disrespect is to play. I don't need to play when it comes to the Lord's house. I need to have an attitude of seriousness when it comes to the Lord's house. Look at somebody and say, don't play with God or the things of God. No, don't disrespect the Lord's house. Over in the book of Luke 19 and 46, Jesus showed up to the temple one day. He showed up to the Lord's house and he found folk disrespecting God's house. Look at what he said. I didn't even put up here what he did, but I'm going to tell you what he did. He said to them in Luke 19:46, it is written, my house is a house of prayer or worship, but you have made it a den of thieves. See, it was some men in there selling stuff, and they should have been worshiping. They were disrespecting the Lord's house. And sometimes, young people, you can be doing something in God's house you don't need to be doing. And if God sees it, you need to understand he ain't happy with that. He considers that to be disrespectful. And so the text goes on to say Jesus went in there throwing the tables. They had set up shop and they were selling in God's house. Jesus, our Lord, the Master, the Lamb of God, went through the church. Get these tables up out of here. He was upset that they were disrespecting the Lord's house, doing stuff that they should not be. Praise team, when you have practice, dancers, when you have practice and you're in the sanctuary, you better watch yourself. You don't want to get too comfortable up here on this is the altar. You don't come up here disrespecting God's podium. You have to remember whose house you are in. These are the Lord's instruments. When you come to serve God as a musician, you got to remember, this is his stuff. And I don't need to disrespect the Lord. There are some people, young folk, you talk to on your phone, you shouldn't even answer their text when they text you in church. There are certain things some young people do on their phone. How can you feel comfortable doing that in God's house? During the worship service? Oh, that's so disrespectful. How can you just get up in the middle of service? You don't have to pee, but you go down in the bathroom and just look at yourself in the mirror and then walk through the gym and just take your time. Coming back up to the surface. That's so disrespectful. How can you have what's being asked in the offering, but don't give it? That's so disrespectful. How can you say you too tired to come to church when he woke you up? And you stay at home instead of coming to God's house where you know you need to be. That's so disrespectful. How can you let your child just run through the sanctuary with no restraint? That's so disrespectful. I'm sweeping the house. We should highly respect and not play in God's house. But on the other hand, young folk, we need to discern in God's house. Remember, do's and don'ts. Don't disrespect, but I do need to be discerning. I need to properly recognize what it is I need to be doing. I just don't need to look at it. I need to discern. I need to recognize what I need to be doing in God's house and when I leave God's house. How many are still with me? Look at this young brother right here in Acts 20 and 9. Paul, when you read verses 7 and 8, Paul was having church. And he was ministering, and the Bible says that he was speaking until midnight. This was one of them long messages. But there were some young folk at the service, and sadly, one of them was not discerning. Look at Acts 20 and 9. He says, and in a window, a certain young man named, y'all help me, Eutychus is what we're going to call him. Eutychus, that sound better, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Man, he was sleeping hard. He was sleeping so hard, the Bible says he was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. He should have been receiving the word, but he wasn't discerning what he needed to be discerning. He allowed sleep or some type of distraction to just overtake him. You can be, young people, in the right place at the right time, but be so distracted that it ends up costing you your life. It ends up costing you your prosperity. He was in the right place at the right time. No doubt he was getting the word that he needed, but he went to a deep sleep, so much so he was overtaken. And it caused him to die. He wasn't discerning. We don't need to just come to church just to come. We need to come and recognize what God is saying, what God is doing, and apply it to our lives. Tell somebody you need to be discerning. See, all of that glory that was going on during the praise and worship service, if you ain't getting with that, you're not discerning. You're not discerning. You're here. You're in the right place. But you don't recognize what's going on. You don't recognize what you should be doing. You can be at your seat, and the preacher done broke down what it means to repent, what it means to be saved, what it means to give your life to the Lord, and you can hear all of that and still not discern what you need to do. And you don't give your life to Jesus. Not discern. Pastor can give you scriptures to look at and read throughout the week, and you just look at it like, you're not discerning. Pastor can take his time and show you how to pray, show you what you need to do, but then through the week, you didn't put into action about prayer. You're in the right place, but not discerning. Got to know what to do when you come in God's house. If not, young people, you're just wasting your own time. And so when we consider our main verse, y'all still with me? The psalmist, when you discern one of the things that the text is saying, is that he wants Jerusalem or the people of God to be in order when they come into the courts of the Lord. He wants them to know how to function. He wants them to know that they need to keep a certain order when they come in the Lord's house. Notice in Psalm 116, 19, he says, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Giving them some order. Jerusalem, or God's people, were expected to worship or praise the Lord in the courts of the house of the Lord. This is what God expected. Now, there are many different types of courts. One in particular was the outer court. The outer court was pretty much where the general public would come to worship the Lord. It's where we come, or anybody can just come and worship the Lord. But then they had what was called the inner court, where certain people went and they would worship and sacrifice and serve the Lord. When you come into God's house, you got to know the order. You got to know what God wants you to do. He wants us to worship and serve. Tell somebody, when I come in God's house, I need to worship and serve. See, back in the Old Testament, only certain folk could go into the inner court. But now that we have Jesus, we can all come boldly before the throne of grace. We can all come before God and worship and serve him. And so the psalmist was just setting up some order for Jerusalem, for the people of God. This is how you need to conduct yourself when you come into God's house. This is what is expected when you come into God's house. And you got to understand something. There are just going to be certain things that are expected of you in life. Whether you're in the church, on a team, on a job, in a family, there are just certain things, young people, that are expected from you. I expect my wife to do certain things based upon the scripture. As a husband, she expects me to do certain things as a husband. Y'all with me? And you have to mature to the point to where you understand I need to meet and exceed expectations. You got to have the mindset that whenever God says this is what I expect, you should have the mindset I want to meet the expectation and I want to exceed it. Never settle for just being average. Never settle for just getting by. Never meet and exceed the expectations. Are you with me? And so in my close, I want to give us two traits to help us keep order in the courts. And remember, the courts basically has to do with the house of the Lord. Because we got to function in order. I said we need to be in order, right? Y'all still with me? 1 Timothy, two traits, and then we're going to be done for today's lesson. 1 Timothy 3:15. Notice what Paul, young people, writes to Timothy. He says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Paul was giving Timothy some orders. I'm going to give you this letter so you know how to conduct yourself. I'm writing to you so you know how to behave. First trait is just simply follow instructions. In order to do things in an orderly fashion in God's house, follow instructions. The man of God was giving Timothy a message. Paul was the pastor. Timothy was the imitator. So once the message came forward, it was up to Timothy to conduct himself in an orderly fashion. In other words, follow instructions and we good. Just do what I'm telling you to do as long as it line up with God's word and we good. Follow or obey instructions and you will be in order. Tell somebody, follow instructions and you in order. Did you not know in every aspect of life, young people, there's order? There's order to doing things. You have to recognize that in every aspect of life, there's just going to be some type of order. You remember when you was in kindergarten and you were learning about order and the teacher would have everybody line up against the wall and walk in a single file and you couldn't move until the teacher said move? Teaching young people order. When you go get your driver's license, don't you know you got to do that in order? You got to pass written and a driver's exam. And once you get your license, you have been certified by that state to legally drive. Now, you might can drive, but go ahead out there without no license and see what's going to happen. Tell somebody we got to be in order. Even if you go to jail, they got order in prison. Yeah, they got order in prison. Lights on, lights off. Take them shoes off and put on these flip-flops. Bend over, cough. It's an order, even in prison. How much so should we conduct ourselves in an orderly fashion in God's house? Tell somebody we got to keep order in God's house. When you don't follow instructions, you are out of order. When I don't follow instructions, I am what? Out of order. And being out of order is not a good thing. You wake up tomorrow and you ready to go to work and you got to be there in 15 minutes and your car out of order, that ain't good. I said, that ain't good. You trying to get into the house to go to the bathroom and for whatever reason, the key ain't working. It's out of order. Tell somebody that ain't good. You trying to put your passcode into your phone and it ain't registering. And then it tell you, well, you've been locked out. We got to do 2 authentication to see who you are. Look at somebody say, that ain't good. Being out of order is not good. When it's time to give God the praise and you don't do it, you out of order. That ain't good. When pastors say, do this, but you do that, tell somebody that ain't good. That ain't good. It's being out of order. Out of order. Write this down. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm not going to go there, but I just want to talk about it. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. There was a man or a preacher by the name of Eli. And around the 12th verse, we learn that Eli had 2 sons. And the Bible says they did not know the Lord. They were corrupt. Bottom line, their life was out of order. But then it describes some of the things that they did. The scripture says that they abhorred or they hated the Lord's offering. And then the second thing it says that they did, that they lay with the women that were in the church. And so the Lord got to dealing with Eli about his sons, and he went to his sons and said, look, the thing that you do is not good. You're out of order. You have to make sure that whatever you are involved in, that you're following instructions. Because being out of order, young people, is not a good thing. We want what Psalm 133:1 says. We want to be the type of brethren that dwell together in unity. That we're all in order and on the same page, and God can just move and bless throughout the house. I want to be in order. How many are like me? You want to be in order by a show of hands. So that means we got to learn and continue to follow what? Follow instructions. Whether it's directly or indirectly. Number 2, and we done, and this may hurt a little bit, but I got to deal with it. If we're going to keep order in God's house, we not only need to follow instructions, but we need to understand that leaders are responsible for keeping order. Leaders are responsible for helping the pastor keep order. If everybody is always running to the pastor, we out of order. Leaders gotta help do what? keep order. When a person is responsible, notice, they're accountable, and look at my definition. They have been given the authority to make something happen. You as a leader, as a minister, as a youth leader in training, you have been given authority to make something happen. You've been given authority to help keep things functioning properly. Yes. Look, we need to make sure that the audio and video technicians have a clean space and they can focus on what they need to do. So we need everybody that's not on assignment to clear out. If the Lord sends PA in there, he got to make sure everybody do what? Clear out. He got that responsibility to make it happen. He done got the instructions, and he just going to make sure that it what? That it happened. That's a leader's responsibility. A leader is just going to make sure that we keep in the order. Pastor can't see everything nor be everywhere. Amen. If something going on during the service, I'm up here already starting my message. I'm rolling. If you leader, you help keep the order of something going on in the congregation. Amen. Don't try to get up here and disrupt the message. No, you leader, you help keep the order. Am I talking right? Let me show y'all something. How many remember in the text, and we're going to be done on this, how many remember in the Bible where Jesus fed over 5,000 men? How many remember that by a show of hands? But look at what went down before he actually did it. Y'all follow me right here. Mark 6, 38 through 41. But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? He talking to the disciples or his leaders. He said, go and see. And they went, and when they found out, they said, we have what? Five loaves and two fish. Verse 39, then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the what? Green, sound like him using his leaders to help keep order. Now look, before we do this, y'all got to go get all these folk, make them sit down on the green grass. Do you think them disciples bumped into some folk that said, man, I ain't sitting down on no grass. I just got this robe. What you talking about? Sit down. He said, make them what? Sit down. Verse 40, so they sat down in ranks. Man, do y'all look at it? In how many groups? In hundreds and in 50s. Imagine one of y'all having to go deal with 50 folk to try to get them all to just sit down. But then imagine some of y'all having 100. Remember, it's thousands of folk out there. Thousands. So he says, look, y'all make them sit down. Verse 41, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples. Look at that. To what? Set before them, still doing things in order. And the two fish he divided among them all. God can't do miraculous things or won't do miraculous things until there's some order. Because God does all things decently and in order. So we need to make sure we're following instructions and conducting ourselves in an orderly fashion. Could that mean somebody is missing their blessing because they are not living their life in an orderly fashion? You want God to do bigger and better? Get your house in order. You want God to make a way out of no way? Get your house or your life, help me out, in order. But especially young people, when we come in God's house, we got to keep order in the courts. When it's time to do God's business, let's conduct ourselves the way that we need to conduct ourselves. How many understand by a show of hands? Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the text.